Last week, you heard some of the inside scoop on the disintegration of the evolutionary fairy tale with Logan Keysweater and the new movie documenting the creationist research and discovery surrounding dinosaur soft tissue. Let's jump back in with Logan for part two.
Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune in to Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio. Keeping it real.
You know, this is probably a good time to mention, so Ellen McHenry has a new book, The Story of Dinosaur Soft Tissue.
Yeah.
And so one of the things she covers is, you know, they were actually discovering this stuff before Mary Schweitzer, which I didn't know about. And so that book is now available at store.rsr.org. It'd be a great thing, companion book to the list of not so old things. It's really good. She also mentions Mark Armitage. I know that Mark and her worked together on this book. Or she, you know, worked closely with Mark and osteocytes and things like that. And I want to get to Logan on this whole thing about osteocytes.
Yes, yes.
Did I say that right?
Wait, wait, before we get to osteocytes, Fred, is it possible, since I was just flipping through Ellen's book, maybe that's where I got the idea that there was something in the 1990s. Is that possible? Anyway,
yeah.
You know what? I'm going to buy a copy of the book, and I encourage everyone in the audience to buy a copy or two, one for you, one for a friend, and let's go back and find out exactly what was going on, because it's a really thin booklet, but it's just packed with really interesting behind-the-scenes information from people who should know better, and they do, and we're glad Ellen wrote it, and it's only, what, it's like 50 bucks, Fred? It's so cheap.
Yeah, I think that one's like, I think it's one of the less expensive books on our store.
It's easily worth $50 a copy, and we're letting it go for a lot less. So check it out on the store. It's definitely worth it. I'll go back and read it. Yes, osteocytes. Fred, I want to congratulate you on your outstanding pronunciation of the word osteocytes. Yes. Excellent. But what is that all about, Logan, and why would that be a big deal?
Oh, this is an exciting one. Okay, so osteocytes are bone cells. So if you're finding osteocytes in a dinosaur bone, and this is something that Dr. Kevin Anderson, the late Dr. Kevin Anderson, had pointed to, Dr. Mark Armitage, who you guys just mentioned, they had been pointing to this. It's something that is in the literature. It's something that we believe we saw in this T-Rex thin section. Osteocytes are cells. They are bone cells. And finding cells inside a dinosaur bone stretches the credulity of the evolutionary timeline, just in my opinion, beyond imagination, because you're finding actual cells. Now, obviously, they're dead cells. They're not alive anymore, but you're finding cells. How can dinosaur cells exist for millions of years? And so finding these osteocytes, so in the bone, there are these little compartments called lacunae, and in the clip you hear Clay Turner mention that. So in the lacunae, that is where the osteocyte essentially lives. It moves around, it works on the bone, it helps form bone. And when we were looking at these this T-Rex thin section under the microscope there, we're seeing these lacunae that look like they have well-preserved osteocytes in them. And as Clay points out in the video, it looks like the filipodia, which are the little arms that come off the osteocytes, it looks like those are well preserved. And so Brian and Clay were blown away by just how many osteocytes are in here. The level of preservation, that was one thing that they remarked on. This is a T-Rex bone from Montana, right? This is something that has not been in a freezer and well preserved. You know, it's not like the thing is in liquid nitrogen. This thing is exposed to the elements. It's you know, close to the surface in some cases. There's groundwater that can come in there that speeds up the decay rate, speeds up the decay process, and yet we're finding potentially loads of osteocytes in this thing. That's just absolutely powerful. That is super powerful. And Clay and Brian, as scientists are and as they need to be, they were careful. They were saying, you know, we need to confirm this. The way we confirm this is by dissolving the bone, and then the cells would float out into the solution, and we'd be able to confirm from there via some other test that these are osteocytes. but we were looking at what looked like just loads of osteocytes within this T-Rex bone, which is just incredibly powerful. Because, I mean, as we know, it's these soft tissues, I know I've already said it, it's something you guys have said a whole bunch, they can only last for thousands of years. They cannot last for millions of years. Collagen, which is one of the things that we were just talking about, I was kind of teasing a little bit. Collagen is said to have a maximum shelf life under the most pristine conditions of 900,000 years. That's not even 1 million years, 900,000. And also, I can't share this entirely yet, but Brian led us on a little secret that that's actually a little bit stretched. Whoa. The 900,000 is a little, has some assumptions built into it. Whoa. Some of the testing that's going on that we have to keep private for right now, I'll just say it this way. It shows that it is much less than 900,000 years.
Are you saying that we might suspect that the alleged testing that says alleged collagen can allegedly last 900,000 years might not include collagen that's laying in the dirt in Montana? Yeah. Maybe not that collagen. So I got a flat tire in Montana once. And I felt myself decaying just waiting on the side of the road. It's scary up there. That's some rough country. That's some tough environment. And we're talking about bones that were pulled out of the dirt in Montana.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so when we prove, and if you're rational, which not everyone is rational, but there are a lot of rational people, a rational person at some point is willing to accept proof. So when we prove that there is collagen in bones pulled out of the dirt in Montana, Logan, what does that mean for the future of Western civilization?
To me, it means Jesus Christ is Lord and you better start obeying him. Right. that's what it means. I say that, you know, like I said, I shared with you guys off camera, I've been in the apologetics world much shorter than you guys have been, but I've been in this for 8 or 9 years. I was in the archaeological world, worked 4 years for Tim Mahoney, Patterns of Evidence. Now I'm working in the creation science world for Dr. Dan Biddle, Genesis Apologetics. The things I have seen, if you are a rational, logical person, should wake you up. And that's what they did for me. This is the kind of stuff that woke me up and brought me back to faith. This is the kind of stuff that made me realize God exists. And not only is that a creator, science shows that a creator exists, and history and archaeology shows that that creator is the God of the Bible. End of story, in my opinion. I say that boldly just because of everything I've seen. I know our scientists in the film would say things much more carefully. They would agree, but they'd say things much more carefully. But I think we already have profound examples of endogenous collagen that's been verified by multiple different scientific techniques. I know Brian Thomas, some of the other scientists, we have about 30 different scientists, researchers, collaborators involved in this project, some of which are in the film, some of which are doing some of the scientific work behind the scenes. They cross multiple different creation science ministries, different Christian universities. This is a big project. And some of the things they've been involved with, and these are creationists too, that have published in secular journals. Brian Thomas published in Analytical Chemistry. One of our other scientists that we've interviewed, Joseph Hubbard in the UK, he's published on this stuff with the Jurassic crocodile. They're finding collagen, endogenous, original collagen in these fossils. You know, T-Rex supposedly 66, 70 million years old. The Jurassic croc Joseph Hubbard worked on 250 to 300 million years old. And yet they're finding endogenous collagen that they're verifying via multiple different scientific techniques, all converging on the fact that this is original to the creature. And they have secular colleagues backing them up on this. What more could you possibly want? How much better could it possibly get? And I think there is one thing that can make it better. We're talking about collagen and how amazing that is and how that can only last for thousands of years. Again, I'm saying now, without giving away anything that I can't say yet, that less than 900,000 years, as is commonly reported as a max shelf life. But the other aspect of this...
I know where you're going. Wait, I know where you're going, because I already started thinking about this. It's in my notes that I've been taking. Where there are cells, and any grade school kid knows this, where there are cells, there is DNA.
Yes, sir.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh.
I was thinking the same thing. Ooh.
So this is the exciting, this is, well, another very exciting part of this project. So I told you, we're trying to cover all bases with this. We're covering the history of this from the very first discovery of the dinosaurs. I mean, we've interviewed scientists at ICR. We've interviewed Joel Brown at CRS. We're about to go to Answers in Genesis. We're trying to, and like I said, there's scientists at different universities, University of Liverpool, Arizona Christian, which is where CRS is at, Fried Hardman University. We're trying to make this as powerful as possible and just pack it tight with great people, great information. But DNA is the next part of this. And Joel Brown is the guy that we talked to about that. We're also potentially going to, or not even potentially, we're going to be talking with Dr. Joe DeWeese about this as well, who's kind of there's multiple people collaborating with Joel Brown on this. But DNA is another very exciting aspect of this, because for as amazing as we think collagen is and how short-lived it is, DNA is even more short-lived. And so where there are cells, where are there certain other biomolecules that are being reported in the literature, there is DNA, potentially. And yeah, we have some tantalizing clues with things like DAPI staining and things that you guys have already reported on, right? You guys have these in some of your previous episodes. DNA, if my understanding is correct, I think I have the correct number, the half-life of that is about 512 years. So it's got a short half-life. If you can confirm DNA in dinosaur bones, which is going to be which is a difficult task, the scientists in the film that are working on this, they're working towards sequencing dinosaur genomic material. If we can actually sequence dinosaur DNA and confirm it, which is going to take, so this is what that takes. That takes multiple samples of the same species from multiple different sites, all being verified by different labs. And then maybe they can start to stitch together a consensus sequence, right? And then we can say we have dinosaur DNA. But we already have tantalizing little bits that are going on within the sequencing efforts of this project. Again, some things I have to keep under wraps that will be shared in the film and will be shared in the scientific publications of these scientists that are going to be released in the near future as well. Hopefully past peer review. They're trying to get published in secular journals, some of them. But DNA.
So am I hearing that Logan's going to be the future producer of the next Jurassic Park movie? Yeah. This will be a documentary. This will be like an actual TV reality show. There's going to be a Survivor episode. And it's going to be on a real Jurassic Park. an alone episode where you have to survive in an area with a bunch of T-Rexes.
And you want to hear something? I'll share another thing. I have to go back to collagen to share something of that nature with you here in a moment. But DNA, yeah. We actually talked with Dr. Jeff Tompkins. We wanted to put that just for the people that are going to be in the audience that are going to have that question is, can Jurassic Park be real? Dr. Jeff Tompkins, geneticist at ICR, he shot that down. but it's essentially, we are looking for dinosaur DNA. The scientists, they've been at this for a long time. And so we're coming alongside of them and saying, we want to share your work and try to get this out to the public at large. But they're working hard at it. It's going to take a long time to be able to confirm dinosaur DNA. I don't even know if we'll have full confirmation of it in the documentary, but we will have enough to share, in my opinion, that points toward the fact that we're getting there. So we have biomaterials that are confirmed, and that is the one thing we're pushing hard with this film. We have biomaterials that are confirmed, and DNA, we're getting there. We're getting there, and there's some amazing stuff that's going on behind the scenes that we're going to be able to go public with, hopefully very, very in the near future.
All right, and the biological material, the soft tissue, will be demonstrated to have been proven with instruments and technologies that are accepted as evidence in court right now.
Yes, sir.
The DNA, by the way, just so people know, you don't need enough DNA to be convicted. You don't need enough to create another person. You don't need the whole thing. It doesn't need to be pristine. Just a little piece of it. If enough matches, a rational person understands that that's enough. And by the way, I just want to quote a couple things that you said, and I just want to. So a number of times you cite secular colleagues, secular publications. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to make it clear that I don't believe any of this because of the secular anything. This is in the Bible, and I know it's true. But We have been left on this earth to live so that we can reach the lost. And so it is incumbent upon us to condescend to their level and publish in secular journals and reach out to secular colleagues and bring in their opinions. So God doesn't need secular journals, but the lost, it just helps us get their attention. And so that's what this is. And that's why we do Real Science, by the way. And I think that's why it's a worthwhile investment on the part of people who support creation ministry. It's a worthwhile investment to give the men who have put in the hours, the years, the decades, in some cases, work to establish the Real Science that gets the attention of someone like Logan, who went to college and he's smart and he doubts God. So you put some real science in front of him, gets his attention. I think it's worthwhile to give those guys the opportunity to uncover the DNA. Let them get to the end of the rainbow and the pot of gold because they've been working so hard for so long. And I hope this movie helps. I hope it helps to bring people to creation ministry and so that they will help financially even, by the way. So if you want to give a pitch, Logan, we're all for it. We want our audience to support you.
Well, no, thank you, guys. I will share with that one of the big things that we're working towards with this project, with the DNA aspect of it, and also just soft tissue generally as well, is we want and are working on taking a team of creation scientists to Alaska. That's why the film's title is Operation Cold Bones. And the reason it's titled that is because we have this overarching goal of getting a team to Alaska, to the Liscombe bone bed, very far north, because the dinosaur bones there are frozen. So there's a higher degree, a higher likelihood of well-preserved material, including DNA, hopefully. There's been secular teams that have already dug there, and they have said that the bones, and I'm going to twist my tongue with this, but the bones, some of them are largely unpermineralized, meaning this is also true of the bone that we looked at under the microscope at Creation Evidence Museum with Dr. Thomas, is that there's still original bone in these. They're not just fossils. Like you said, it's not the bones are stones. It's not just that they're soft tissue. There's still bone, original bone in these samples. And so we want to go to Alaska to see if we can retrieve frozen bones. We have a team put together so far that we're working with, and that's one of the things we're fundraising for. And so we have a website. We have our standard Genesis Apologetics website. You can go to genesisapologetics.com. There's a donation tab. But the other website that we've launched in tandem with this, and it is within our Genesis Apologetics website, but you have to search for it, is softdinosaurs.com. So that is the official website related to this project. So you can go to either of those. You can just go to the Genesis Apologetics website and hit the donation tab, or you can go to softdinosaurs.com. We're trying to finish fundraising, especially for this Alaska expedition. And I won't, again, I know I've said this a few times. I apologize. There's things I have to keep private, though, just because of the sensitive nature of some of this. We're thinking we're pretty close to being able to make this happen in terms of official permissions, and also being careful not to tip certain people off that we're having to work through official channels. So we're having to be cautious and careful, but at the same time, we're having to be somewhat public with it because we have to bring in the funds to take the scientists to Alaska. So that's the hope. That's the goal. I know I've mentioned Dr. Thomas and Dr. Brown a couple of times. There are multiple different scientists in this that are in the film, several of them, people that are very well known to the creationist world. When you see this film, when it's done, you'll see some of your favorite faces at ICR, Answers in Genesis, CRS, and then, like I said, some of the other scientists that are a part of these universities. And it's an international project too. We have people in the US and people in the UK working together on this. It's a big effort. And so big efforts like this require funding. So I am very grateful to you guys for letting me share that. So that's the hope. That's the goal.
Yeah, cool. Absolutely. So, hey, I wanted to get back to something on osteocytes. So one of the things that Mark Armitage reported is that there's observation associated with blood residues and clotting behavior. Is that anything that you've gotten into?
So that's, you know, so we've actually, It is very good stuff. So I should share. So Distri, Mark Armitage's group, the T-Rex bone sample that we cut from was provided to us by Dr. Mark Armitage. So he provided us with that sample. He's also provided us with, and this is something that he and my boss, Dr. Biddle, they worked out together. He provided us with, we have about 300 microscope slides right now with T-Rex blood vessels on them. Part of this project is we want to send those T-Rex blood vessel microscope slides to different creation science ministries and to different Christian schools and universities so they can have tangible evidence of the flood to share with their students. So Mark was helping us with that. Those blood vessels that are in those slides appear to have clotted material in them. And as Mark and some others have talked with us, that clotted material could be evidence of death via drowning, which is very, very powerful. So these, I've looked at these. We looked at them under the microscopes at ICR. We've looked at them in some of the video that Mark sent to us explaining it. These vessels appear to have clotted material still within them. It could be blood cells or remnants of the decay processes related to that. But there appears to be clotted material in these vessels, which is very, very powerful. I know Mark has a whole argumentation on that. I think he might have even shared it on RSR in the past, if I'm not mistaken. But that, you know, the potential of this pointing to death via drowning, which is in our list of
not so old things. To quote him, these osteocytes that are associated with blood residues and clotting behavior are features consistent with rapid burial and traumatic death.
Yes. And absolutely. And that's something that's very powerful, because as we know, in order for these fossils to have formed in the first place, they had to be buried rapidly, quickly. And so you have Dr. Armitage making that argumentation. And like I said, with us sharing that it also potentially points to drowning as well, in addition to a traumatic event. So you have traumatic event and potential drowning. Couple the two together. What does that sound like?
Yeah, one of 1,000 evidences that we have for a real global flood. So for those new listeners to RSR or those new folks watching us on YouTube, there's overwhelming evidence that there is a global flood just as was described in the Bible. You can trust the Bible. You can trust the first book, Genesis, and that you can know the rest of the Bible is true, and you can know that Jesus Christ came to die for your sins and that death came into the world because of our sin. It's our fault. Everything that's happening that's bad, it's our fault. And Jesus came and he paid that price. He paid for our sins. We're all sinners. And thank goodness, like Paul said, thank be to God that Jesus Christ came and died for our sins.
Amen. And you know, that brings us to something you said a little earlier, Logan, that might scare people. You said that you looked at the evidence and at some point it says to you, Jesus Christ is Lord, you better obey him. And that terrifies. That's the one thing the heathen doesn't want to do. They're not afraid of real science. They're not even afraid of religion. In fact, they kind of like religion. If you give an atheist, if you take God out of the equation, the atheist will create his own religion around things like sexuality and good works. And they have all kinds of religions. They have a green religion. They have a rainbow-colored religion. They have their own religions. But I want to get to, you said that the evidence helped you return to faith. It sounds like you're a little bit like me, that you were probably raised by some Christian parents, but at some point you strayed out into the world. You were seduced by the world. You participated. A little bit of a prodigal son type story. So can you quickly just lay that out for people, how creation science and the evidence helped you, got your attention?
Yeah, absolutely. And you are absolutely right about that. So to share this briefly in a nutshell, you're exactly right. I grew up Christian, had parents that taught me about the Bible. We were in and out of church, but I had that foundation. At 13, I got baptized. And shortly after getting baptized at 13, that is when the fall happened. And it was really interesting that it happened shortly thereafter. So I went out. I was seduced by the world. I went in the world for probably over a decade where I had abandoned my faith. I lived a very worldly lifestyle. I even joined a punk rock band for 3 years and was a drummer in a punk rock band for 3 years. And a drummer.
And that, man, yes, the drummer's always the hardest part. So do you keep
we've got a drummer, we've got you on guitar and me on keyboards. You know,
we've almost got a band going, right? Well, wait a minute. Do you keep good time?
I can't.
You can't. Okay.
I don't want to say that boastfully. I still play drums. I play in my church's band. So
oh great. Oh, cool. Okay. Well, so there's awesome. So there's nothing sinful about playing the drums unless you can't keep good time. Then you should just please don't. I can't tell you how many drummers. I don't even want to get into it. All right. So you're baptized in an evangelical church, I'm assuming, but you're seduced by the world. Now you're playing drums in a punk band. And mm-hmm. What happened?
I hit rock bottom. That's what I hit rock bottom in that world. I got to a point where I was so low. I was so in the world and in just bad lifestyle. And I hit rock bottom and felt this tugging to come back to faith because I had that background. I kept pushing it away until the point where I couldn't ignore it anymore. It got so bad. And I'll just be honest. And I'll be transparent. It got to the point where I needed to know if there was a God or I didn't want to be around anymore. That was the point I had reached when I was in the world.
Man.
And that propelled, because I had all these questions. I had been taught evolution. I had these questions where it's like, I felt this tug to come back to faith, but evolution blocked it. It blocked it. It did. And so it sent me, and I all glory, credit, honor, praise to God. It was him and him alone. I prayed a prayer to just show me that you're real. You know, the whole concept of, and not wanting to take verses out of context, but if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with your whole heart. And that is what I wanted to do. I needed to know God was real. I asked him to show me. And that opened up this whole door of creation science and biblical archaeology running in tandem with each other. And this doesn't happen for everybody. And I'm not special. This was, again, all credit to God. But literally every single one of my questions got answered because it just one resource led to another resource, led to another resource, and it's spiderwebbed into the different creation science ministries, the different biblical archaeology teams, people that were looking into this and pointing to real evidence that God exists and that biblical history is true, that the people and the events were all real. And being exposed to that, and in Real Science Radio, I share this with you guys, was a huge part of that because you guys bring everybody on your program. And so you guys were actually a big part of my journey back to faith, along with the other ministries and my former employer, Patterns of Evidence, now again working for Genesis Apologetics, Dan, and the things that GA has put out. All of these things converged in all these questions got answered, and the evidence became super overwhelming and powerful. I came to believe that there was a God, that there was a creator. And then, like I said, history and archaeology pointed it to being the God of the Bible. And that turned my whole world around. Everything changed. And then just, again, by God's grace, I got inserted into the work, something I didn't expect. Never would have expected, but I had a background in video production. It's what I went to college for. And so I just started reaching out to the people I was listening to and reading, you know, reading their articles, watching their videos, their films. I just started reaching out. One thing led to another, one connection led to another, and I got pulled into the work. And so for a while, I was an adventurer on the hunt for the real Red Sea crossing site in Mount Sinai, which connected me to Tim Mahoney. And then Tim pulled me in, and I worked as an editor for Patterns of Evidence for 4 years. And then that connected me to Dan, Dr. Biddle, who absorbed me and brought me into Genesis Apologetics. And just this whole background, it was God leading me out of the world and the talents that he had given me. Again, all credit to him. I'm not boasting about myself. The talents he had given me that I was using for evil, drumming, making music videos for the band I was in, all of a sudden got reworked, plugged back in to this world of creation science and biblical archaeology that had pulled me out of the darkness in the first place. And so God took me from here to here and said, hey, by the way, I'm not just showing you this to help you. I want you to get involved. It's just my life has never been the same. And that's the story.
Okay. Oh, wow. So I want to touch on a few things you said, because I want our audience to learn from this. Notice that Logan said, so he became the prodigal son, thought about God, but well, maybe wanted to know about God, but evolution blocked that. Okay, that's not true, that evolution blocked that. But it's okay that you said it that way, Logan, because it tells us a lot about human nature.
Mm-hmm.
So if given the opportunity to hold on to a lie that allows us to indulge our flesh and our appetites and our sinful desires, we will latch onto that lie and then we'll use it as a convenient mm-hmm. vehicle to say that kept me from God. What really kept Logan from God, and what Real Science Radio does, and what we as Christians in general, part of what we should do, is eliminate those vehicles. Just take those vehicles off the road so that they're not available. But what really stopped Logan from returning to his faith was that he hadn't asked God to show himself. Like, God, show me that you're real. So what Logan was refusing to do was open himself up to the possibility that God was real. You had closed yourself off to that, latched onto a bunch of worldly garbage as your excuse. And once you opened yourself up, like God, if you're real, I want to know. And I think that's a better way to say it than God, show me. God, if you're real, I want to know. Because if you want to know, he will prove it to you. If you want to know, he will prove it to you. And praise the Lord. And then finally, just one thing. I just want to thank Logan's mom and dad. Because the Bible says that if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, that's not a guarantee, mom and dad, that you're going to save your child out of the world by teaching them about Jesus Christ when they're little. But it is a great rule of thumb, and that's why it's in the Bible. So thanks to Logan's mom and dad for teaching him about Jesus Christ when he was too young to lie to himself about the vehicles in the world that want to take him on a ride. But if you tell the kid when they're too young to even understand it, they'll believe it. And then they'll have that place to return to. So just, I love hearing the stories of people who, I mean, to say that Real Science Radio even helped is such a blessing to hear our name actually associated with it. But anyway, more so to your mom and dad. God bless. And thank you so much for doing the work and coming back to Christ. And I look forward to walking in the Spirit with you for many years, Logan, and Fred as well, of course, always.
Yep.
Can you hear me?
He's back.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So I am
alive.
Back.
You're alive.
I am alive.
That might be cool.
I might need to go just based on the weather outside right now. I am so sorry. Do you guys want to do a quick wrap up?
No, yeah, let's do a quick wrap. Yeah, go. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and go? We want you to be safe. We want you to finish that documentary. So okay, Logan, thanks for coming on. Get in that bathtub.
Logan, go hide.
Yeah, again. So he's got tornado warnings coming in, and he's abandoning ship.
That's right. But he doesn't have to worry about dying. He just has to hope it's not really very painful. That's the one thing I worry about, Fred.
Yeah.
I'm not so much afraid to die, but the discomfort, that's the part.
Yeah, that part's not going to, we're not looking forward to that, but we know it's going to be temporary. That's what we got to keep reminding ourselves.
That's right. Yeah, so anyway, that was awesome, Fred. What a great kid. And I shouldn't call him a kid, but anyway, just a great young man and doing some good work. And isn't that amazing, Fred, to hear the name of Real Science Radio from a kid who came back from, praise the Lord. Yeah. It's just awesome. Yeah,
it really is. And man, you know, I didn't get to ask him, you know, when the video will be ready. You know, we can, I guess, check with him, you know, later. But Doug, I mean, do you know when this video's ready?
Logan and I had originally talked about doing this broadcast in the fall. And so it could be that the movie's not due to be finished until sometime in 2027. I'd just leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Still, 'cause we had a scheduled Zoom meeting with them that you attended. I missed it because I forgot. I was apologizing to Logan when we first got on, when he came on to record this episode. If you remember, I was at a floor and tile place with my wife, and I had this notification on my phone that says, I've got a meeting with Logan and Doug on Dino Soft Tissue. I'm like, oh man, Sandy, can we get in the car and head home really quick? Because I forgot this. I didn't really say that because it was like 10 minutes before the meeting. I'm like, oh man. So as you know, I called you really quick. You were able to, you know, cover for me.
Yeah.
And I apologize to Logan for, forgetting that I had this, that scheduled Zoom meeting.
Well, and so just talking to Logan for about a half hour, I said, hey, you know, if we could do something earlier, keep under wraps what you need to keep under wraps. But I think we need to get the word out on this. And just so glad we did. And, Man, praise the Lord. Good job on everyone's part out there. And just so blessed that they would give us an opportunity to be involved in some small way.
Yeah.
Logan mentioned having the slides that we have. I think he said hundreds of slides of the dinosaur bones. Slides that contain soft tissue. They're sending these slides to various creation groups. Maybe they're sending it to secular. I would assume that they're sending it to secular universities and institutions to get that confirming science, you know, so that people won't say, oh, these are the creationists cooking up, cooking the books in their own little, you know, in their own little laboratories. No, we've got something from XYZ University and East Anglia where they produce the hockey stick, just in case you were doubting us, whatever we need, right, from the atheists. And then sending them to Christian schools so that little children can be shown the tangible evidence. And so I mentioned that little children, they don't necessarily really need a lot of tangible evidence because they're ready to believe. And if you teach them when they're very young, they will believe. But one thing I will tell you that has an effect on young kids in the government schools, at least from my perspective, going to government school, was that the tangible evidence that was presented to me in science class by my science teacher was presented almost tangentially, Fred. Like, oh yeah, of course we have the fossils that prove the millions of years. And they didn't really harp on the tangible evidence. They just kind of said, and of course here it is, you know, and just kind of passed it over. And so I think it would be of value for a Christian school that still supports the creation narrative in the Bible, which, by the way, if you're sending your kid to a Christian school, you need to find out, do they still support the creation narrative in the Bible? Yeah, not all Christian schools do.
That was very important to me when we sent our kids to Christian school. That was number one. They had to support literal history of Genesis, because if they didn't, we know what happens. Any churches, schools, anything that compromise on Genesis, they start compromising on a lot of other things.
Mm-hmm. And eventually the big thing.
Apostasy. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But it might be nice, and I think it would be pretty cool, if the Christian schools that advocate the young earth Genesis narrative, for them to at least have some evidence to where they could say, oh, yeah, and by the way, of course, we got these, duh. Anyway, it just kind of like my science teacher presented the fossils to me, I can see a believing Christian teacher presented to kids. It's like, yeah, well, we got the slides too, of course, because this is all real. I mean, duh. Anyway, I like that. So that would be really cool that they get that evidence out there. And anyway, just a lot of fun, Fred, as usual on Real Science Radio. The time flies. We can't even fit it all into one show. We can barely squeeze it all into two shows, but that's because we're blessed and we're having a great time. And I really appreciate you letting me be involved, Fred.
And likewise, Doug, I appreciate all the great work you do for Real Science Radio. People don't know all the great things you do, the homeschool, when we do the homeschool conferences.
That was a blast.
Presentation of the creation and the gospel to these young kids is just fantastic.
Oh, and so, Fred, that's a preview. Little sneak preview for folks. We're going to do a show. I'm springing this on Fred right at the moment. We're probably going to do a show, and we're going to introduce some topics Bob used to have on the website. Probably, maybe we still have it, Fred. He has the errata page. Errata.
Yes.
Are you familiar with errata?
I am.
Like, it's like wherever we made a mistake, we're not going to take, we don't have the time to go back and like rip things out and take stuff down. I don't really believe in that anyway. I kind of want everyone to see all my mistakes. But I also want there to be a place where we correct those mistakes. And so I want to do an errata show here in the not too distant future, review some things that we've talked about, things that have happened over the years. And I forget what got me on that, Fred. It was something that you just said, and I'm sure that I would remember it if I was in my right mind, which I believe I am.
Okay.
But I don't recall exactly. But maybe we'll do
an interesting show. People will want, people will like a show that, hey, where we actually make mistakes. I know, because it'll be so shocking. You know,
yes.
You're supposed to have shocking thumbnails on YouTube.
That's
Fred
right.
and Doug were wrong. And so, hey, that'll probably get our biggest viewing audience, our biggest viewing numbers on YouTube.
I can see that. Yes, yes.
Brilliant idea, Doug.
That might be a way to get our adversaries to tune in, Fred, is to point out our mistakes and deficiencies on the air. That'll be great. Yeah. All right. So that's a preview. And check out the movie, which I don't, does the movie have a title? Did he say the title? I think he said the title in the Operation Cold Bone. No, that's not the movie. Is that it?
Yeah, well, I don't know. The movie's not going to be released, we don't think now, right, Doug, until...
It'll be at least 2027, somewhere next year.
Okay.
And then maybe there isn't a title. That would be less embarrassing for me that I've already forgotten the title. But this, we know the title of this show, right, Fred?
That's right. So we are Real Science Radio, and we've come to an end. And so I would like to thank again my co-host, Doug McBurney. And I pray that Logan is safe and avoiding dodging tornadoes out in Illinois. And I'm Fred Williams of Real Science Radio, and may God bless you.
In